little history lesson before we get into Colossians chapter 2 tonight. The denominations that came out of the Reformation initially were evangelical churches. There were evangelical Lutherans, evangelical Presbyterians, in time evangelical Methodists. The Anglican Church was evangelical. Now, when the churches came to the United States, the Anglican Church was the Church of England. As we were revolting against England, they didn't want to be known as that, so they became the Episcopalian Church. Evangel, good news. Okay. Gospel preaching. Okay. They were all evangelical. In the course of time, though, all these once Bible-believing churches, denominations, were shifting back, like the Anglican Church, towards apostasy. The truth of Scripture was being denied. But you still had a core group of believers within these denominations. And their problem was, do we try to reform the denomination or do we get out and form a new one? Some stayed, many got out. The ones that got out and started new fellowships were known as fundamentalists because they believed in five fundamental doctrines that determine what genuine Christianity is about. Five core beliefs that if you don't hold to these, you're not a Christian, no matter what denomination you identify as. The inerrancy of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, and salvation by grace, and the second coming of Christ. These are all core doctrines. So you had fundamentalists who were evangelicals, and you had liberals. Over the course of time, within the fundamental evangelical group, the evangelicals were saying, well, you know what? Those guys on the liberal side, they've got some things going for them. And there was division within the Bible-believing sector. Fundamentalists were holding, these guys over here are apostates. The evangelicals were saying, well, we don't necessarily agree with what they believe, but they have merit. We can identify with them, at least on some basis, as brothers in Christ. The whole movement, evangelical movement, really took a turn to liberalism with the ministry, believe it or not, of, now my mind just went blank, the evangelist, Billy Graham, 1957. He was organizing the crusade in New York City. Up until that time, Billy Graham was a fundamentalist. But he said, I want people from liberal churches on the platform with me. And those who will come to Christ, I will send them back into those liberal churches to be discipled. That's when the evangelical became new evangelicals. Fundamentalists remained here. There were still evangelicals that said, no, we're not going to do that. And then there's the neo-evangelicals. What difference does it make what you believe about what constitutes salvation? What was the error of Billy Graham in sending these people back into liberal churches that were denying cardinal doctrines, fundamental doctrines of salvation? The answer is found in our text tonight. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Just two verses tonight. They're pretty important. Well, of course, all the verses are important. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. On the sheets that I've given you, a couple of things I want you to note. Number one, the you in each of these two verses, as you have therefore received, is plural. As you walk is plural. As you have been rooted, as you are being built up, as you are being confirmed, all of them are plural. What that tells me is this. The salvation experience of every believer is basically the same. There are certain things that go into a salvation decision that is consistent with every believer. Now, the circumstances may differ, and there are some peculiarities for each person. But there are some things that are absolutely consistent that every one of us here tonight could say, yes, that is true of me. No different. Then one other thing that's just a quick note. I have in here some verb tenses, and I have a typo in here. The one in the middle, being built up, I have as a perfect tense. It actually is a present tense. Sorry about that. But we'll get into the tenses in just a moment or two. But here's the key. As you have, therefore, received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk. The Christian life is a walk with God. It is not a race. It is a steady progress forward. There is no competition between Christians as to who will get to the finish line first, because none of us will get there until Jesus Christ comes. There is an analogy to a race. Paul said in Philippians where he says, I strive for the finish line. He's using an example there from a race of giving his all as a person who is striving to accomplish a goal. But the reason is that he's doing that is that living the Christian life takes effort. It just doesn't happen. But it is a steady, continuous walk with God. There are times you will go uphill that will be difficult. There are times that you will be going downhill where life will become somewhat easy. But it is slow and progressive. And it is based upon, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord. What are the conditions of how we have received Him? I have five listed there for you. These are true to all of us. A person will not come to faith in Christ to be saved unless he is first of all sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Scripture is very, very clear. There is none that seek after God. Man in his lost state is completely depraved, unable to do anything that will merit salvation. And in his lost state is unwilling to be seeking after God. It takes the ministry of the Holy Spirit for a person to come to faith. Jesus put it this way, no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. But then he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The heart of God is, I want everybody to come to Christ, to be saved. And the Holy Spirit is active in doing that. Jesus said that when the Spirit of Christ comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you've got a problem with sin. You've got a problem with righteousness. As I shared a number of times before I came to Christ as my Savior, I thought you put my good works here and my bad works here, my sin and my righteousness, and the righteousness will outweigh the sin, and I'm good enough. I've got a problem with sin, and I've got a problem with righteousness. There is none. It was the Spirit of God that revealed that to me. And consequently, I was worthy of judgment. If the Holy Spirit hadn't made my mind conscious of those things, I'd still be wandering around today, probably in a Lutheran church. But the Spirit of God was working. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, notice the next two words, the Lord. Didn't really have to put that in there because we've trusted Christ. But he says, Christ Jesus the Lord. A title of God's sovereignty. Now, there is within Bible believers a debate on what's called lordship salvation. Some will say that not only must you trust in Jesus, but you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to doing everything that God requires of you. The problem with that is that we never fully do that. Is there anyone here who says, since the day I trusted Christ, I've never disobeyed a commandment of God? Whenever we sin, are we not in effect denying God's sovereignty over our lives to tell us, this is what I want you to do or this is what I don't want you to do? What do we recognize, though? That God does have a right to demand my life if I don't turn it over to Him. Lord, if I go on in this sinful state, you have every right to send me into hell. You are the Lord. We received Jesus the Lord by believing the Word of God. We heard the gospel. Peter will say, we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God. There is another debate within Christianity. Whether faith precedes regeneration, or regeneration precedes faith. I say faith precedes regeneration. The word regeneration in the Greek is palingenesia. Palin is an adverb, again. Genesia is the noun form of the verb genao, which means to be born. Literally, to be born again. That's regeneration. Peter says, we are born not of, and the word born there is palingenesia. We are regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Well, how can you believe on the word of God to be regenerated if you can't believe until you're regenerated? It doesn't work. Man has the capability of believing. Unsaved man refuses to until the Spirit of God comes along. And once man believes, he's given new life. Everything is based upon a reception, a believing reception of the word of God. Whether it's from a printed page of Scripture, a gospel tract, an audio hearing of a YouTube video, or a preacher in a pulpit. It's hearing the Word of God and believing. Fourthly, there is a repentance of sin. Not necessarily every particular sin that you can think of, but it's a recognition of, okay, Christ died for my sins, and I am not going to go on living in them. Will I sin again? Unfortunately, yes. Do I desire to live in sin? The answer is no. And then fourth or fifthly, for by grace are you saved. It is a recognition that we cannot do anything of ourselves to merit our salvation, but that it's a free gift of God. Now, what does he say? In the same way that you've received him, live your Christian life that way, day by day, step by step. As we move through life, be sensitive. The same Holy Spirit that brought us to a place of conviction is the one who is always going to lead us through life, lead us into truth, away from error, into the will of God. Sensitive to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. As many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit, or as many as are led by the Spirit of the children of God. We received him that way. We walk with him that way. We recognize that God is sovereign, and he can choose me to do this or that or whatever he chooses. And while he gives me the freedom to say yes, I will, or no, I won't, he also holds me responsible for the decisions I make. We walk day by day by believing his word. We don't go off into our own and say, well, there's something better than the Bible. And that was the problem the Colossians were having. People were coming in from the outside saying, well, you've trusted Christ, but there's something more. Gnostic beliefs. When sin takes place, we repent of it. And we recognize that anything that we're going to accomplish in life is not by our own merit or by our own strength, but by the grace of God. As you have, therefore, received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. What are the consequences of doing so? Number one, we are rooted in him. We come back to the tenses, and I want you to look at the tenses. How did we receive Christ? Well, the tense there is an aorist tense. An aorist tense means something that happened in a specific point of time. Now, the point of time may be a large point. For example, if I say, yesterday I read a book, it might have taken me the whole day to read the book. But that's the point a day. At lunch yesterday, I ate a sandwich. Well, now the point's smaller. But we're talking in one act. There's a point in time where we receive Christ as Savior. There may be a lot of things that lead up to it. The analogy is a physical birth. Generally speaking, from the time of conception to the time of birth, 9 months transpires. But when do we mark the time of birth? Time that fetus, that child comes out of the womb. Well, it was there 9 months ago in a very small form. But we say, here's the birth date. We don't look at the whole 9 months. We just look at the singular day. And so it is with our spiritual birth. There's a specific time. Maybe over the course of time, it took months that you recognized your sin and you recognized your need and you understood the word, that you exercised faith. But the very moment you trusted Christ is a point in time. We are to walk, present tense, continuous action. We have been rooted, a perfect tense, which means a completed act at a point in time that has continuing results. Yesterday, it rained and the grass became wet. Well, if that's perfect tense, the grass is still wet. Imagine that. The very moment we came to faith in Christ, we were rooted in Him. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. We're rooted so that we're not as tumbleweeds who are blown about by every wind of doctrine. That's good. We sunk roots down in Christ. And what do roots do for a plant? It draws the water and the nutrients out of the ground and nourishes it. And consequently, a plant will grow. We were rooted and built up. The word there literally means to build a house, layer by layer by layer. You start with the foundation, you get the basement walls, you get the first floor, you get the walls, you get the ceiling, you get the second floor, you get the roof trusses. You keep building up. You don't start with the roof. That just doesn't work. Just as a plant sinks down roots, it then starts growing upwards. And we start growing up in maturity, spiritual maturity. We're edified. We're built up in Him. We are then established in the faith. What was true to us the day we trusted Christ becomes more real to us. We start delving into just how good God is. The very moment you trusted Christ, did you understand everything about salvation? Did you understand the theanthropic nature of Christ? Did you understand the two natures in one person? Did you understand how He could be God and flesh at the same time? Did you understand all the different things about what went on, the penal substitution, and all those different things? And the answer is, of course not. All you knew is Christ died for my sins. And you counted that as true. But then you start getting into more theology and understanding all that Jesus did, and you start getting established in the faith. And when a person is established, the roots have gone deeper and therefore anchored, can't be drawn away. And that's what these Colossians were in danger of being, drawn away. And then abounding in thanksgiving. They had trusted Christ. I was thankful for my salvation. And then I started realizing, as I began walking with Him, how many more things He has done for me. That He's always there by my side if I'm walking with Him. That He's always there to forgive my sins. That He's always there to hear my prayer. That He's always there to provide for my needs. Didn't happen the day I trusted Christ. It happened as I was walking with Him. But what happens if you go back into a place that doesn't teach how you receive Christ Jesus in a biblical fashion? If they can't teach you how to receive Him, can they teach you how to walk with Him? There's not a chance. And that's where Billy Graham made a fatal mistake. His message of salvation was always spot on. The problem is, he said, okay, now go back into Catholicism, go back into liberalism, and they'll teach you how to walk. And the way they'll teach you is contrary to everything I just said. And that's contrary to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I am not the judge of those thousands of people who made professions, if not millions of people who made professions of faith, whether they were genuine or not. Only God knows. But if they went back into a liberal church, I can almost guarantee you that they never learned to walk with God there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him.
He's more concerned about numbers than true disciples.
Exactly. And that was his motivation. If I get these liberal churches, I'll have all these people coming out. They will hear the gospel. And maybe they get saved. But I will sacrifice their walking with God so that I have another number. That's not a sacrifice we can make. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths of these two verses of Scripture. Thank you for what you've done for us in sending your Son to die on the cross that we might have life. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who drew us to yourself. Thank you for the Word of God that's true and able to give life. Thank you for your sovereignty that you care about us and that your commands for us are always of a heart that's good. Thank you that when sin takes place, there is forgiveness to be found in your person and the grace to be made whole again. Lord, as we have received these things, may they be found daily in the walk that we have with you. May we be constantly, steadily, carefully, trustingly move forward in each and every day of our lives as we walk this course until Jesus comes again and calls us to come home. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you in his wonderful name. Amen. Have a good week.